In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 116. Well, this is what we're sort of meant to do. We're talking about Yankees against the Red Sox, and tells quite a few stories. I don't have a lot to say because I didn't watch a lot of the series. I watched one inning, and I'll tell you my thoughts on that one inning. The Yankees should have been swept because I watched the second inning of the 3-1 Yankee win. It was that Saturday. And Duvall, he fouled out to first. Casas walked. And then Arroyo had an out to center. Then McGuire doubled. And so there was two outs. And they held up Casas at third. Mm-hmm. And all the hits, Arroyo's hit, McGuire's double, were absolutely scorched, like they couldn't have hit those balls any harder. And one was an out, and one was a double that didn't knock in a guy. And I don't criticize third base coaches because it's a hard job, and Casas is big and slow. But like, then when I saw the ball, I was like, they're hitting the crap out of this guy. Like, how could they not shell him? Because I mean, those balls were hit as hard as anything I'd seen all year, and then they end up losing the game. Like, I don't understand how Herman settled down. I have no idea what happened, but to me that was emblematic of the Red Sox season. Like, even when they try to do good things, they can't do good things. So I think the Yankees probably, he should, if that goes south, if Casas scores on that, he probably falls apart. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you look back at the series and I'm trying to think of something more exciting than John Sterling getting hit by a ball that happened in that series.
Right, so boring.
So boring.
Yep.
It's, you know,
neither team hit.
Nothing. And you get, for the Yankees to score 9 runs in a 3-game series and lose 2 of the games, I mean, what? Yeah. That tells you everything right there.
Right.
I mean, it's insane how lackluster this team is without Aaron Judge. Now, with Aaron Judge, they were still, you know, they weren't the most exciting team either, but my goodness, it just goes to show you just how just awful they are without Aaron Judge. Let's just real quick, when Aaron Judge, I'm just going to run through some numbers for you, all right? When Aaron Judge went on the IL the second time after, with his big toe, which I am still not convinced is going to be this real quick recovery that everybody thinks is talking about. Oh, he'll only be a couple days, he'll be back real quick. I'm not buying it, dude. I'm not, especially before I get into the numbers, especially if it's Aaron Judge and he is your whole offense, do you want him to come back with a half hobbled toe like DJ did all last season? I don't know. But let's look at the numbers, okay? So we're going to talk Aaron Judge and the rest of the team here, right?
Okay.
Aaron Judge, average, 291. Rest of the team, 230. Aaron Judge, on base percentage, 404. Rest of the team, 295. Aaron Judge, slugging percentage, 674. Rest of the team, 399. Aaron Judge, WRC plus 188, rest of the team 92. Aaron Judge, FWAR 2.8, rest of the team 5.1. I mean, you don't even need to get to those last numbers to see that they're nothing without
Aaron
Judge.
And why isn't Stanton playing on the rubber game on a Sunday?
Because it's Stanton. We don't want to get him hurt. It's the same issue. Now, they think they're going to put this guy in the outfield, but they won't play him 3 games in a row?
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked that he didn't start that game. Yeah, I mean, listen, you only allowed 7 runs in 3 games, and you lose 2 of them.
And you lose 2 of them. And their pitching isn't bad, all right?
Obviously not.
Their pitching's not bad. The bullpen is doing what the bullpen has been doing all season. Now, yes, you're going to have your hiccups here and there. You cannot be perfect all the time. But you need to hit the ball. You need to get some hits. And the one guy you just got rid of decided he wants to hit, Aaron Hicks.
I love the conversation on that. Well, I mean, look at the averages. I mean, as of Monday of this week, I mean, Rizzo is respectable, 269.
IKF is your best player on the team right now.
That's scary.
Right? And he's your super utility player, which should be your shortstop.
I mean, you have Stanton batting 233. I mean, you know, and that leads us So basically, no Judge, no offense.
No Judge, no offense. And like I said, you got IKF, who is technically probably your best hitter right now, who's playing all around. But I'm thinking to myself, you got a struggling rookie shortstop who everybody knows is not cutting it right now. He's not cutting it. If there wasn't any more reason,
who's
Anthony Volpe?
Oh, so you want to get him now? Okay.
If there isn't any more reason, right? If you watch the Yankees this weekend, Anthony Volpe came up twice in the bottom of the ninth with a chance to win the game. Now, the poor fans in right field got doused with beer thinking that he hit a home run his first time up, and he didn't. It was a foul ball. Then he popped out, and then he strikes out. Two things here. He's not cutting it, and you got nobody on the bench to do that. Why isn't there a Matt Carpenter left on this team? Why isn't there one of these players that can come off the bench and get a freaking hit with two outs in the ninth and not a guy who's batting .174? That's who you're setting your game's hands in?
Volpe is up to .186.
Or whatever. So that's who you want to win the game for you, a guy who's clearly struggling, and you're hoping, oh, he's going to get his aha moment. No, that's not how you're going to win a baseball game.
Well, you know, it's funny because I go back to our boy Jason Hendry in 2000 and whatever when we were working together at the NBC in Hartford.
Pedroia?
With Pedroia, but like they're trying to let him get the ABs to work through it.
But it's the middle of June.
He's 186. They're 9.5 games out of first as of Monday.
At this stage of the game, you need to make a change. You have to. And if you can't see that, then you're going to be dealing with what you're dealing with the rest of the season. And your bench is so depleted that your guy who you would have off the bench, Billy McKinney, he probably shouldn't even be on the team right now, obviously. Let's be honest. But he's playing, so he can't come off the bench to hit for you in the ninth inning because he's in left field.
Right. Here's the counter argument. Judge takes all the time he needs, comes back and just say July 4th weekend.
All-star break. Say all-star break.
Okay, say all-star break. You get Stanton in the lineup, Rizzo who's been brutally cold.
Now, is this assuming you're still 9.5 games out?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're basically going to play status quo until Judge comes back. Yeah. Hang in there.
And you're playing for the wild card. You're not going to win the division.
Right.
But my point is that if Judge gets healthy, give some protection to Stanton, you could be in late July killing it. Like, I think that the Yankees find a way. Like, this is why Cashman doesn't go nuts, because this always, I just have this sinking feeling that everyone will come back and they'll start to get in a groove. They'll win 6 or 7, 4 or 5.
I'm just wondering, though. I'm trying to figure out who is your... The Yankees always had someone off the bench late in the game.
That's what they'll get in a trade. If there's not a lot of pitching in the market, there'll be bats.
They're going to have to be. They're going to have to be because they don't have it. They just don't. They don't. And listen, that's an easy fix, I think, because like you said, you go out and you find it.
You buy it.
But yeah. The Volpe situation needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed.
Do you see any questions in the media about it?
You don't. You just don't see it. And I think the only reason you don't see that is because the Yankees are still there. They're a half game up in the wild card. Everybody knows that this East Division is crazy, and you're most likely, like you said, not going to catch Tampa. And Baltimore, most likely. You're not going to catch them either.
I don't think so.
So you're playing for the wild card in the middle of June, which is fine. But do you really want to go your whole season, a half game up, looking over your shoulders to guess who now? Damn Astros.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to go away. So are you going to sit there hanging on the edge the whole season, or are you going to fix the problem and go with it? I'm thinking the easy fix is IKF, move him to shortstop, send Volpe down, let him figure it out. If he doesn't come back this year, he doesn't come back this year.
How did IKF do? How does he do in that position?
He's serviceable. I mean,
is he's like
not,
Kike? Because he's not serviceable.
No,
like,
he was your shortstop a couple years ago. I mean, so he's serviceable. He's going to do what you need to do. I mean, granted, Anthony Volpe is no gem defensively right now either. So it's not like you're going to be downgrading or upgrading at that spot, but you are going to get a proven major league veteran and a hitter in that position. He's hitting good right now. So I'm thinking that's the way you got to go.
We only have one or two little items to talk about. I mean, there's no real juice in the Subway Series anymore because they've played each other so many times. Having
said that,
they're
probably the two most mediocre New York teams to face off in a long time.
Well, it's interesting because the Mets are desperate.
Desperate.
I mean, they're in worse shape than the Yankees. And so this series, believe it or not, I think is actually quite important because...
I feel like the difference between the Yankees and the Mets, right? The Yankees are struggling, but they have the majority of the pieces there, like a pitching. The Mets, are struggling, but they're just a mess. Like, the pitching sucks.
Right.
The hitting's not there. Like, and then now their best hitter is hurt.
Why do they do a two-game series? Like, I don't understand that.
I don't know. Probably just because it's, like, so close, and it's in the middle of the week, and there's really no aura to it. You know, it's not a weekend series where you're going to pack the house.
Well, listen, it's a great set. You got Severino against Scherzer on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, you have Cole against Verlander on national television. So it'll be fun to watch, but I feel like, honestly, I feel like if the Yankees take two, Showalter gets fired. And yeah. I don't think they should fire him.
But Showalter sounds like he's on the edge of being gone. But then I also read something that he's not even making the lineups. It's the general manager and the stat rats are constructing the lineups. Well, now that has got to drive Buck Showalter insane.
That's also the problem. I mean, this is going back to Moneyball. This is a 20-year-old issue. It's stupid. And it happens in Boston, find a way to balance it, I guess. And Boone, I don't hear any scuttlebutt about that. I think Cashman, even though he uses data, I think he lets Boone manage. But
I'm looking across the league and I'm trying to find a more old school manager than Buck Showalter. Now, Boshi's been around a while. Melvin's been around a while.
Those are two right there.
But I mean, can you find anybody else? Bell's been around a while, but he's the younger Bell. I mean, no.
But I don't think Buck is anti-data. I just think that he should be able to make out the card.
There's got to be. The manager's got to have some power, right?
Yes.
And if you're not making up your lineup, what are you doing?
But that goes back to Moneyball. I mean, that's exactly what the dynamic was.
Yeah.
With
play him tonight.
Yeah. I mean, that was the whole thing. And over time, you get the sample size, and that's the age old debate.
Do the Mets just have too many stars?
I don't know.
Is it too much ego? Because the weird thing is like this way I look at it. The one player, right? The one player on that team that's not signed long term is probably your most marketable player, Polar Pete.
Yeah, I mean, he's the most underpaid guy in baseball. But you have,
and probably your most marketable player, I would think. Now, take all the Latin connection and all that with Lindor out of it. If you look at the Mets and you say New York Mets, who do you think of?
Pete Alonso. Sure.
Now, that would be the guy I would think you'd want locked up. And he's not.
Yeah, maybe they don't believe in him long-term.
And all these other players were locked up before they were going to free agency. I think Polar Pete's free agent after this year.
No, I don't think so.
If this year or next year, and I would be, if I was the Mets, I'd be thinking, I want to keep him around. And if I'm Polar Pete and I don't see the money coming, I'm thinking I'm walking.
Well, listen, I mean, what they gave Lindor, I mean, that's the base.
Look at how much they gave Nemo.
Right.
Well, I mean, you think he's worth more than Polar Pete to that team?
No, but I actually like him as a player. But you're right about that. I honestly think that the Bucks, he's talking like a dead man walking too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's that. We have Subway Series, Sox in terms of their schedule. I mean, I'm in that same spot where it's like I can't wait to go to the park because I like to drink beer and eat peanuts, but like.
There's not much excitement.
No.
There's just not either team. Like you said, Brian, I watched that series and
it
I'm
was
sitting
so
there
boring.
And I'm like, why is this? Why do I not care if I walk away and go out and do something and come back and miss a couple innings?
It'll be interesting. The one thing I will say is that they benched Verdugo, try to get him going, which I feel like they need to make an example. And they're like, Alex, you've been around long enough to handle it. So
right.
I'm going to make you the example and so on. But like they have. After the Rockies, they got the Yankees again. Then they hit the road for Minnesota, Chicago, and then they're back home against Miami. Then on the road to Toronto and Texas. That is, you know, if with the exception of the Oakland A's at the end of the first half, that's a brutal schedule for the Red Sox. So it's not getting any easier. And in my opinion is...
You said they play Texas too?
Yeah, they play.
They're basically almost playing the same schedule. They're just flip flopping.
They go Colorado, Yankees, Twins, White Sox, Marlins, Blue Jays, Rangers, A's, end of first half. So outside of the A's, they're playing all teams that are arguably better than them.
Yeah,
I mean the Sox are going to be they're going to be under 500 at the All-Star.
And Oakland's won five in a row. They've almost half their win season.
At some point, you got to win games.
I know.
Was it this year or last year where the Reds were brutal out of the gate? Was that this year or last year? Remember they lost like the first 10 or 11 games of the season? I can't remember which year it was. But eventually you figure out you got to win some baseball games.
Right.
It's just the bottom line.
But at this stage, I mean, we know Tampa's not going to start losing. They're just not.
Well, they're not going to lose enough to the point where three teams below them are going to be able to jump up. And the Yankees don't only need Tampa to lose. They need Baltimore to lose. So how many nights are they both going to lose to each other?
They're
and
not.
Since they're not playing each other that much, the opportunities are far reduced. I'm not just handing the division to Tampa. I'm
no, but you got to hope they go cold in the playoffs at this stage. I mean, how are they going to blow this?
Tampa?
Yeah.
They will.
To blow the lead?
No, no, no. They won't win the World Series.
No,
though.
No. I don't think they'll win the World Series either, but I just don't see them, like, the way they play, the style of baseball. They're just
That one pitcher I love.
McClanahan?
Oh, he's so good.
So good.
He's got that kind of... it's not Maddox in terms of style, but just in terms of makeup.
That whole team has just got a bunch of players that are just players. They have no bona fide star on that team. I bet you if you ask even people that follow that team, who's the star on that team?
It's not a Rosarena.
It's him or Wander Franco.
Yeah.
I would think, and honestly, it's got to be a Rosarena because he's the flashy guy. He's probably the one that, you know, everyone identifies with, but there really isn't that player that you hang everything on. It's just a bunch of guys showing up who can ball.
Yeah.
And if the guy's not doing it, they're like, all right, next.
Be psyched if they had different uniforms on. If that team was, because I, you know, like if that team was in front of 40,000 people and they were your team, they're fun to watch.
Can you imagine if they win the World Series this year and they're looking at, like, nobody goes to their games. The stadium sucks. They don't want to be there. And it's like, now what do you do?
Well,
the team
just
won the damn World Series.
Well, I wonder if that would accelerate a move, or
I would think it would.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it ad nauseum. We got to run, but I think that Major League Baseball does not belong in Florida, South Florida. So
no.
I mean, even the Marlins, which I know they got a new stadium, I don't think they should exist either. I don't. I really, really, really feel strongly that that's the case. But what are you going to do? This has been episode 116 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.